John Albright.
Okay,
he's here. Okay. And then I've got a book here of mine. It's Does the Image of Your Business Attract Customers and Motivate Employees? Okay. Rick Grounds. Okay. Brian Charlson. Okay, a $25 chip from FSIG. Elizabeth Flamata. Okay. Okay, $25 chip from Mississippi Vendors. Chef G. Is she in the room?
Geisler Joseph.
Geisler Joseph, is she in the room?
Yeah.
Geisler? Okay. Okay. It's easier to say Chef G. Okay, we'll do one more $25 prize and then we'll go to break. That's yes. Oh, okay, we'll wait and do the cash. We'll do the aliens then. Okay. How many do you have? How many do you have? Okay, we have another alien.
Kay is here with me.
Okay, from Kay. Now remember, you have to bring this to lunch. Sure. William Meisler? Or Weisler? Connie Cox, Connie Carr, Connie Carr, Tim Berg, Tim Berg. Okay, Tim is here, okay.
Okay, well, Tim is coming up to get the alien. This is a 5-foot alien. We wanted to let you know that we've lost a 4-foot gray alien, and there's a $100 reward out on him if anybody finds him. We had 4 of them here to raffle, and if you find him, come and see me because we're going to donate $100 to RSVA if you can bring him up to us. And don't forget, you have to bring the alien to the lunch. Who's the guy coming up? Is he here now? The guy who won this one.
Oh, Tim Berg.
Yeah, Tim Berg, are you coming to the lunch today? Is he coming up?
Yeah, he probably is. He is.
Is he here? Anyway, if you're coming to the lunch, all the people who won aliens, if you bring them to the lunch, you'll get some additional prizes that we're going to give away. But remember, the code word is Nanu Nanu. Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Sands Hotel proudly presents the star of our show, direct from the bar, Dean Martin.
Drink to me only. That's all I ask, and I will drink to you.
Oh,
how long I've been on. I don't care if the sun don't shine. I do my drinking in the evening time when I'm in Las Vegas. You can sit in the sun and camp. I get my color from a sunray lamp when I'm in Las Vegas. I love the laughs and love the life. There's fun of every kind. Next time I come, I'll bring my wife. I'll do that if I lose my mind. A wife in Vegas, take my advice. It's like going to China with a sack of rice. But I love Las Vegas. I love Vegas in the summer. I love it in the fall. I love Vegas, may I say that it's a gasser, yeah. I love Vegas like it's Egypt and I am Nasser. I love Vegas every moment. Ooh, it's my favorite atmosphere. I love Vegas. Why do I love Vegas? Because my money's here. I love Vegas when I'm winning. I love it when I lose. I love Vegas like the army loves its manuals. I love Vegas like Sinatra loves Jack Daniels. I love Vegas every moment. Oh, Mr. Entrada, I must cheer. Hey, you smart boy. I love Vegas. Ach du lieber, do I love Vegas. Because my blood is here. I love Vegas when I'm loaded. I love Vegas when I am not. I love Vegas, just like Khrushchev loves being indignant, more than even my wife Jeannie loves being pregnant. I love Vegas every moment. When I leave, I shed a tear. Do I love Vegas? I'll make it good and clear. It's because my girl's right here.
Thank you very much.
Have a good job in the city. Keep on rolling. Bet you're gonna find some people who live. You don't have to worry, cause you have no money. People on the river are happy to give. I said a big wheel to keep on turning. Proud Mary, keep on burning. Oh, I'm rolling, rolling, rolling on the river. Rolling, rolling, rolling on the river. Oh.
Established permanent floating craft game in New York. Yes, it's the oldest established permanent floating craft game in New York.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Little baby, don't you cry. You know your daddy's bound to die. But all my trials, Lord,
you if you could be me for just 1 hour. If we could find a way to get inside each other's mind. Oh, if you could see you through my eyes instead of your ego, I believe you'd be surprised to see that you've been blind. Walk a mile in my shoes. Hey! Just walk a mile in my shoes. Yeah, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse. Just walk a mile in my shoes. Now, if we spend the day throwing stones at one another, cause I don't think I'll wear my hair same way you do. Oh, well, I may be common people, but I'm your brother. And when you strike out to try to hurt me, it's a hurting you. Lord, have mercy. Walk a mile in my shoes. Oh. Walk a mile in my shoes. Yeah. Yeah, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes. Now there are people on reservations and out in the ghetto, and brother, there, before the grace of God, go you and I. If I only had the wings, our little angel, don't you know I'd fly to the top of a mountain, and then I'd cry, cry. Yeah, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes. Yeah, before you abuse, criticize, and accuse, walk a mile in my shoes.
Let's sing some songs.
Mm-hmm. Hey, my salad. Damn fool.
Scott, did you... That's another Kitty album.
All righty.
Look at this. I'm not only an if act, I got to handle all the props.
Well, they're on...
The owners.
They're on your side, Frank, baby.
A little present we got from Sammy Davis when we opened the other night, he gets.
Nice shade.
I don't care what star you're falling, buddy. Get them camels off my lawn.
Can you make it alone?
Yeah, I'm all right.
All day.
Okay, we have $25 in cash from our SBA.
I just found out that Mr. Clean's a dirty
slob. Stop it, you sort of slob. What the hell's the matter? You're going to do some
just
nice stuff.
Just trying to have a little fun, folks.
So.
Tom Linker, are you in the room?
A dolly with a hole in her stocking, and her knees keep a knocking, her toes
keep nope.
Dance with a dolly with a hole in her stocking, and the booze ran out of her shoes.
Chris Pageant.
You sing that like you believe it.
Oh, there's nothing else to believe.
Julie Johnson.
You are too beautiful.
Okay,
one man alone. So I brought
Jelani Smith.
My barber.
Brother. You made me love you.
I didn't want to do it.
You can call me. I can
you
always just...
You woke me up to do it. You woke me up.
Pamela Gaffney.
Why twice?
I took a second all. I was sleeping so nice and deep.
Twice.
Shook me like this.
David Cameron.
I didn't even know her.
Send her over to my place.
Is he here, David Cameron? Okay.
I can't go there.
Kim Venable.
Nothing could be finer than to shack up with a minor.
La di di do. Lights.
Okay.
Nothing's more.
Denise Mendoza. Than to wake up. Gee, you guys are going to have to tell her this is the third time she lost.
That was the chick's name.
Sure, with the mustache.
Beautiful dreamer.
He found it. It took him a little while, but he found it.
Okay, Travis Beck.
I dream.
Travis Beck.
Oh, he would.
And I dream in the John.
Tim Gaskin.
Hey, how you want me to say it,
John?
Or whatever I'm going to
Tim Gaskin.
The Pete?
Okay.
It's got to be John.
Okay.
I dream in the Pete. That's right. That's not
true. Yeah, I got four left.
Like Wonder Woman in the sand.
Yeah.
Okay, one more cash prize. Well, awesome. Plus, we got Eddie Chandler. Eddie has, you know, his normal FSIG, too. So, okay, here's another one. Warren Tyama. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's not here. Okay. Here you go. Elizabeth McCary. Elizabeth McCary? No, that was a different Liz. Colleen Wunderlich?
I have a name.
Michael Lee?
Not me.
Janice Foster? Eileen Soto? She missed the last one, too. Celia Albright?
She's here.
Oh, she's here. Okie dokie. There you go.
Okay, we'll get back on the agenda, and our next presenter. If we can get your attention, we're going to get back on the agenda, and our next presenter. From the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind, NCSAB, Randolph Shepherd Report. Oh, I'm sorry. I've got the wrong one. For you next.
Katrina.
Oh, okay. I did. I am okay. Katrina McDonald, president of Linkpin Strategies. I've known Katrina for a long, long time. She is a dear friend. And we're so happy that with all the bad weather back east that she's able to be with us today.
Thank you, Katrina. I gotta duck off quick, so
okay.
I'll get you later. Yes.
Sorry, when you're sitting in the back of the room, it's a long walk up here. I'm so delighted to be here to see all of you. It was a long trip. You know, there's this little snowstorm that's hit the East Coast. So I finally made it here. I won't tell you what time in the morning it was. My luggage has not yet made it. So for those of you who can't see me, I've got my Washington power suit on. And I have to tell you, if I had walked through the casino to get here in a bikini, carrying one of these little inflatable aliens, I would have gotten fewer stares. And now my flight out is canceled, so maybe my luggage will actually catch up with me before I head home again. But it's lovely to be here with you here at Sagebrush. And, you know, I was thinking this conference has a long history of important legislative connections. I think that it was while we were here 2 years ago that we got word about all sorts of stuff on the transportation bill amendments to commercialize roadside rest areas. We actually got that message while we were here at the Sagebrush conference, and you folks, particularly Roy, leapt into action, reaching out to members of Congress, organized the California delegation to reach out to Chairwoman Boxer and other states to do what you do so well, and we were successful ultimately in defeating that amendment on the Senate floor to commercialize rest areas. So I think you should give yourselves a round of applause and a pat on the back. And the good news is we're going to have a chance to do it all again. So let's start with the good news. How many folks in this room were impacted, your businesses, your facilities were impacted by the government shutdown and federal employees? Yeah, I see about a third maybe of hands going up, and some of them went up really high, really fast. So the good news is that Congress was finally able to get its act together and set up some legislation in place so that we are very unlikely to have a repeat of that scenario again. Chairman Ryan and Chairwoman Murray negotiated a budget deal that was finalized and passed through the House and Senate last December, and it established spending levels not just for 2014, but also for 2015. And the good news about that is that it makes it very unlikely that we're going to see another government shutdown. In fact, we have a shot at doing appropriations and allocating money, federal money, for federal programs through a normal process for the first time. If they manage to do that, it would be the first time in 7 years. So that does not mean that there won't be continued government cutbacks, and I know that that also impacts many folks and your businesses. But we're not going to see a repeat of the sequester in 2013. So in 2013, there was an across-the-board cut. It impacted defense facilities. It impacted domestic programs. It had implications for federal employees. A lot of hiring freezes where folks who left were not replaced. And the good news is that as part of the budget deal, that sequester was eliminated. And we're not going to see big increases in funding from 2014 up to 2015. The funding will be pretty steady. But at least, again, the agreement has been struck, and we're not going to see a repeat of those big cuts. One of the things that that has enabled is the Department of Education, RSA, is moving forward to replace Dan Fry and actually also to hire a second person. So the Randolph Shepherd community has been saying for a long time that the Randolph Shepherd program needed more support from RSA, and the commissioner is moving forward to fill not one but two positions. I know I've heard from a number of folks that RSA has seemed a little quiet lately, and I think it's partly because the commissioner was getting her feet underneath her. She was sworn in at the very end of the year in early December, and they've been doing a lot of interviews to fill those positions. But look forward soon, pretty shortly, we should be getting an announcement of new staff in two positions at RSA. The other thing that is going on sort of behind the scenes, not hearing or seeing a lot about it in the press, but definitely work is proceeding apace, is work on the transportation bill. So when that bill was done 2 years ago, they were not able to do a normal 5-year agreement. They did a 2-year extension. And it was on that 2-year extension that we saw the amendment to commercialize rest areas. That agreement expires in October of this year. And so the committees are working now to put together a package that would allow surface transportation funding to continue to flow. And that means, can we wait until September or October to be talking to members of Congress about the importance of roadside vending for the Randolph-Shepard programs in all of our states? I'm going to try that again. Can we wait until September or October? Thank you. So all of us need to be paying attention and beginning our outreach to members of Congress now. And I can't emphasize enough how important that is. There was a Randolph-Shepard-related update that was sent around, not by NCSAB, but by some other folks, that sort of said there's not a lot going on with the Surface Transportation Act right now, but you should keep an eye on it. And I would beg to differ with that. I actually know and believe that staff are starting to negotiate that package now. So there are a couple of things that we collectively need to be thinking about and doing. One is collecting information about what roadside vending means for the Randolph-Shepard program in your state. And obviously, it works differently in different places. So in some places, Randolph-Shepard nationally represents about a third of all business opportunities for vendors nationwide. That's really significant. In your state, roadside vending may be particularly important to individual vendors and their businesses and their families. In other states, it's all contracted out to third party, but the income supports health insurance payments, sick pay, vacation pay, and other benefits for Randolph-Shepard entrepreneurs. It's important to pull together information about what roadside vending means for your state, and have those statistics and that information ready and available so that you can provide it to members of Congress and answer their questions about if roadside vending were commercialized nationally, what would that mean for blind entrepreneurs where you live? It is not too soon to begin to deliver that information to congressional staff and congressional offices. And there are lots of ways to do that. If you are in Washington, D.C., you can be setting up meetings in those offices while you're there. But frankly, it is more effective to be talking to folks at home. Congress has a schedule in 2014 that has them in Washington voting on legislation a grand total of 103 days this year. That is fewer days working in Washington than any Congress in modern history. And it means that they will have 262 days this year when they are working at home, out and about, meeting with constituents, learning about their concerns and their issues, and trying to respond to those concerns and issues because there's this little thing called an election in November. That is an opportune time to be meeting with members of Congress and their staff at home. So think about pulling together a small group of vendors to go and talk about the transportation bill and roadside vending, and educating members of Congress about the Randolph-Shepard program, because many don't know or understand very much about Randolph-Shepard and blind entrepreneurs. This is the time to be talking to congressional offices, not when there's a vote coming up in 48 hours, but now, when you can be educating them and answering their questions, not under the gun of a particular amendment. The other thing that's important to do, in some cases, SLAs may be able to do this. In some cases, they may need to rely on consumer groups and committees, elected committees. It's important to be reaching out to the state departments of transportation to help them understand what roadside vending means for blind entrepreneurs as well. One of the most damaging things that happened to us 2 years ago was a letter signed by state secretaries of transportation, more than 20 of them, urging Congress to commercialize rest areas. I'm not going to suggest that education and outreach by the Randolph Shepherd Program can absolutely keep secretaries of transportation off another letter like that, but it's important if they are signing on to letters like that that they understand what the implications for us and our community are. And certainly if we don't reach out to the State Department of Transportation, it is even more likely that they will be signing on to letters like that. And I can absolutely guarantee that there's somebody out there right now drafting that letter to circulate through the National Governors Association and get the largest possible delegation of governors or transportation secretaries to support commercialization of rest areas. This is likely to be a really big, hot topic. President Obama has identified infrastructure investments as one of his top three priorities, and that's something that has bipartisan support. When you listen to Republicans in Congress talk about areas where they think added investment is needed, they often talk about infrastructure as well. And we know that roads improvements, bridges, gets a lot of attention, creates a lot of jobs, has a lot of support. But it's been budget disagreements that led to the government shutdown and the fights over raising the debt ceiling. And everybody in Washington is talking right now about how there's a lot of consensus that we need to be spending more on infrastructure, but not a lot of consensus about where that money should come from. And commercialization of rest areas is seen by a lot of people as an easy way to get more money for infrastructure without adding to the federal deficit. SLAs want to be a partner with blind entrepreneurs in this to the extent that they can be. Many SLAs don't have the authority to be reaching out directly to congressional offices. And in that case, they need consumers and elected committees to be providing that information and doing that work instead. Some SLAs may be able to do some education of congressional offices now before this becomes an issue with legislation on the floor and hotly contested amendments. They might be able to do some outreach now before their governor or their state transportation secretary goes on record supporting commercialization. Other SLAs are not allowed to do outreach around this until there is an amendment that's pending on the floor. So you and your elected committees should be reaching out to SLAs. Figure out what SLAs can do, what your SLA can do, and then figure out how blind entrepreneurs can help to close the gap between what SLAs can do and what might be needed to educate congressional offices. But at the end of the day, remember, there's nothing that I, as your hired advocate, can ever do or say that is as effective as an articulate, knowledgeable, blind entrepreneur going in to talk to his or her member of Congress. There is nothing that your SLA staff can do that is as powerful as what you can say and do in a meeting with congressional staff or members. So a lot of this has got to come back to you. The other thing that was very helpful when we went through this before was some media pieces and outreach to reporters who wrote stories about blind entrepreneurs who were feeding their families and supporting themselves through rest area vending. And if there are folks in the room who would be interested in working with us to contact reporters and place some of those stories, again, now is the time to do that. We don't want to wait until we're in crisis mode. And if you've got ideas about folks in your state who are doing roadside vending who have a great story and would be interesting to the press, I would love to hear about it and work with you to see if we could get that out in the news. So that is going to be, I think, our major legislative focus for this calendar year. Of course, there are quite a few other things that are going on behind the scenes, work that we're doing with federal agencies and less directly with Congress. So in the few remaining minutes that I have, I'm going to touch on two things that are in the works. One is that we've been working for a couple of years now to put pressure on the VA to open up business opportunities for blind entrepreneurs through Randolph Shepard on facilities that are controlled by the Veterans Administration. You know probably better than I what a brick wall this has been, but we are hopeful that we're starting to make a little bit of progress. The VA has sent new instructions out to its facilities, directing them to at least notify SLAs when there are vending or food service opportunities available. If you do not know that your state is receiving those notices from the VA, you should check in and make sure that your SLA is actually getting those notices. And if nobody at your SLA is getting notices from the VA, you should let us know because we want to make sure that we fix that. The notices are a step in the right direction, but they're not the entire solution. And the canteen service has not changed some of its policies that, from our point of view, are just made up with no relationship to the law. They continue to have a policy that says that if there are fewer than 100 people in a facility, the Randolph-Shepard Act doesn't apply. The canteen service is telling us that if it is not a public access facility, then the Randolph-Shepard Act does not apply. And a couple of weeks ago, Dan Fry, who's the co-chair of the NCSAB Randolph-Shepard Committee in his new capacity up in New Jersey, joined Terry Smith of the NFBEI to have a meeting with the VA's canteen service. And they sort of walked the canteen service staff in Washington through all of the ways in which we believe that the canteen services policies are inconsistent with the law. I think deer in the headlights is the best term to describe the reaction of the canteen service folks. They were really outmanned, outgunned, and did not have the information they needed to argue the case effectively. So their response was to ask Terry and Dan to put all of the information that had been provided in writing so that they could run it by their general counsel. So that was quite an effort. As you can imagine, the document is many pages long, but that has been done and completed and sent to the canteen service, and NCSAB and NFBEI will be following up to keep the pressure on the VA. The other area where we are cautiously optimistic that there might be some opportunities for progress is with the Committee for Purchase. So NCSAB has been facilitating some meetings with the Committee for Purchase over the last year and a half. There's a relatively new executive director there. There are some new commissioners there who know more about the Randolph-Shepard program. And now that Commissioner Labreck has been confirmed as of December, we're hopeful that there's a partner at RSA who could work with Ability One to help resolve some of the conflicts between JWAD and Randolph-Shepard. In particular, we have asked the Ability One program to set up a notification process similar to what the post office and the VA is doing, so that if there's a food service contract that Service America, Service Source, I can't remember exactly what their new name is. Feels to me like they have a new name about every year. But anyway, if there are nonprofits under the Javits-Wagner O'Day Act who are interested in food service opportunities, we are setting up a protocol where the first thing that would happen is that SLAs would be notified that there's a Service America nonprofit interested in that contract so that we could hopefully negotiate conflict before the last minute when we're interrupting the contracting plans of potential customers and creating very bad will with those contracting officers towards both the Randolph Shepherd program and Ability One. So stay tuned. I hope to be able to be reporting some more progress soon. I'm going to pause there because those are the things that I've been deeply involved in particular over the last 4 months. But I'm interested in hearing from you about challenges, questions about things that are going on in Washington, or other things that you'd like to draw to my attention that you think I ought to be paying attention to. Thank you.
I'd like to make a quick comment. Katrina mentioned a couple of years ago when we were here and we were calling our congressmen and senators about the Portman Amendment at the time. And a lot of folks had some ill feelings toward Senator Portman. And I was talking with a bunch of colleagues, and we came up with a conclusion that Senator Portman is not against the blind community and the Randolph Shepherd. It's a matter of education. He probably didn't have any clue what it would do to across the country to our blind vendors. That's why we need to educate our congressmen and senators about this program. And that's what we'll be doing in a couple of weeks on the Hill.
Could I actually add to that for just a moment? The other thing that happens when we have not done that education job, it puts us at risk in a couple of different ways. When Senator Portman offered his amendment, there was a really unscrupulous lobbyist in Ohio who contacted blind vendors in Ohio and asked them to pay him a really substantial amount of money, promising to make the Portman Amendment go away. And when those blind vendors refused, he threatened to go to the senator and basically guarantee that the amendment moved forward. So we can protect ourselves. I was really glad that the Ohio vendors reacted the way that they did. They picked up the phone and called me to check out this guy and see if he had the power to do what he suggested that he could do. But we leave ourselves open to threats like that when we're in crisis mode, so it is all the more reason to be working on this and getting out ahead of the curve.
Any questions for Katrina? Take a couple of quick ones.
Scott, the microphone's coming.
Yes, I just need to know if you know what the date is that the last Randolph Shepherd from the VA was sent out.
They contact, it's done on a state-by-state basis. So they provide information, and it's forwarded to individual states that might have contracts on that list. So there's no set schedule when every state should be notified. But this has been in place for probably 8 or 10 months now. So at this point, every state should have received at least one notice. And those notices are now coming from Ray Hopkins. Good question. Thank you.
This is Debbie Mallenberg from Florida. My question is, if I want to contact, say, my Secretary of Transportation or whoever in Florida or my congressman, I need some facts. I need to know, maybe not just, I know I could probably get information from my state from my SLA, but, you know, facts on how many blind vendors there are, how much business they do out on the interstate, how many employees they support, stuff like that. Where can I get that information?
Absolutely. And it's going to be the job of the SLA and the elected committee to pull that information together for your state. So as the NCSAB policy advisor, I've been talking with NCSAB members, with SLAs, about needing to pull this together. We're also updating a set of talking points, which we will make available to SLAs. And we have been strongly encouraging SLAs to be in communication with the consumer groups about this. So my hope is if we're pushing SLAs to be in touch with you and you are contacting SLAs and saying we need this, that between the two, the connection will happen.
This is Dino from Massachusetts. I want to touch on the VA question again. Does this include locations that are already existing with private facilities? Because they never notify us of anything anymore.
You know, the VA is one of the most frustrating federal agencies to work with. And it's a very decentralized agency, so it's hard to get the national office to move and change policy. And then even when the national office tells its regions to do something, probably more than half the time, the regions just ignore the central office and do what they wanted to do anyway. So I am not going to suggest that this is simple and easy. It's going to require a lot of work on all of our part, but yes, all food service on VA facilities is subject to the Randolph-Shepard Act. That does not mean that overnight we're going to get all of those facilities, but we're working to expand and improve.
Katrina, when we were in Baltimore, we discussed several states getting together and taking some of the best cases forward. Can you elaborate on the progress of that?
So we would really love to get a small group of entrepreneurs who may be veterans and have them come with us to do a series of meetings at the VA and with the VA committees. And so we are working hard, NCSAB is working hard to identify blind entrepreneurs who have military service because we think that the VA and the relevant folks in Congress will respond better if we've got real-life entrepreneurs who are themselves veterans. So if you know of veterans, and they do not need to be service disabled, their blindness does not need to have been caused by their military service, but if you know of some terrific blind veterans who are in the Randolph-Shepard program, I would love to talk to them about planning a trip to Washington.
Real quickly, I would like to... I know we're running short on time. I'd like to ask Katrina if she would give us a real brief update on the legislation that came out of the Health Committee on the moving of RSA, which includes Randolph-Shepard, over to the Department of Labor out of the Department of Education. Could you do that, Katrina?
Sure. So Senator Harkin has been a longtime advocate, as everybody knows, for people with disabilities. He has rewritten the Workforce Investment Act, which includes the Rehab Act, and in a big sort of surprise in July, I believe it was, he released an updated version of that legislation which would pick up RSA and move it out of the Department of Education to the Department of Labor. When you talk to the staff about why they wanted to do that, their reasoning is really not any more sophisticated than we think it's not really working at the Department of Education, and the Department of Labor is the department that helps people get jobs, so we kind of thought we'd move it to the Department of Labor and see if it works better there. This has obviously been extremely controversial. You know, I think there are lots of things we'd like to fix at RSA, but the disability community broadly is not convinced that just moving to a new agency is the solution for that. The legislation has been stalled as a result of this controversy and other things that have nothing to do with the Rehab Act, but a couple of weeks ago, Senator Harkin gave an interview in which he was listing his priorities for sort of his legacy items before he retires at the end of this calendar year. And passing the Workforce Investment Act was on that short list of two or three goals. So this is definitely something that This is something Fred Schroeder tracks for NCSAB. I am strictly Randolph Shepherd. But this is definitely something that everybody in this room should be paying attention to, because it could have a significant impact on Randolph Shepherd and the BEP program. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you, Katrina. I'm sure if you see Katrina out in the hallway or in the back of the room, she'll be happy to take any questions that you have. Our next presenter. Yes, for Katrina. Our next presenter is customer service tips. Vivian Rivera, who is a SCORE representative. Welcome, Vivian.
Hi, thank you. Thank you. You know, I myself did not know nothing about Randolph Shepherd Act. A couple of months ago when I was asked to speak about customer service, I said yes so quickly because I've been a customer service trainer for over 17 years. And then when I did my research on Randolph Shepherd Act, oh my God, I was like, oh my goodness, how do I relate to the blind? And I really, would they listen to me? Well, I looked up some of the audios and information that was written about by John Marks and by Kevin Morley about the blind and customer service. And I said, oh my gosh, it's just the same as anybody else. So I was more confident than ever. So yesterday, my audience at home was my little dog. And her name is Sarah Palin. She is just like Sarah Palin. And you know what? You can't come to my house because she's really mean. So, you know, but it's funny. I voted for Obama. So, you know, woe is me, right? So I thought, okay, I sat and we talked all day long about customer service. So poor little dog starved to death, and she listened to her mom as I spoke to her about customer service. So I thought today I'd make it fun, and because the customer service that I know of is really in the industry of financial services and in luxury retail. Now, I know you're in a different industry, but it's still the same. It's all about interactions with your customer. Now, I'm sure most of you have written down your goals for 2014. Maybe your fiscal year started last August, so you're halfway through. And some of you are still writing because some of your fiscal year hasn't started. But, you know, most of us forget the most important goal in our goals for 2014. And that's our customers. Maybe this year you might want to work hard at increasing your sales by 10%. Maybe you have a goal to do some renovation. Maybe you've got some new vendors that is interested in helping you. Maybe you've got a new menu that you want to work with. And you did so well in 2013 that you're going to hire some part-timers for 2014. But whatever the case is, I ask you and I challenge you today to add customer service on top of your list. Now, you wonder, who is your customer? Well, a lot of us think it's the customer that comes up to your counter and pays $2 for your meal. But you'd be surprised how many customers and types of customers you deal with every day to make your business run. Okay? Let me tell you a little bit about myself before I continue. I was born on the beautiful island of Guam. Now, tell me, how many of you have been to that island of Guam? Raise your hand. Oh, gosh. All of you raised your hand. No, I'm just joking. Well, I sold four. Oh, okay. You know what? If I had some duty-free gifts, I would run out to four of you, and I would give you some really nice gifts from duty-free. But anyways, so in our island of Guam, we don't have fancy factories. We don't have tuna shipping that we do. Nobody goes out and fish for everybody. We just have tourism. That's our bread and butter. So we all work hard at speaking our third language. Of course, our first language is English. Our second language is the Chamorro language. And our third language could be Japanese, Korean, Chinese, Mandarin, Cantonese. And we work really hard. If you're at the grocery store, if you're at Kmart, we don't have Walmart, by the way. If we have, if you go to Macy's, if you go to our duty-free stores, you have somebody speaking that third language. Because tourism is different. These Asians don't come to buy fancy leather goods. They love going to Costco. They love going to Sam's Club. Back home, we don't have Sam's Club. We have a place called Costulas. So they go to these big lot stores now. They even go to our version of 99-cent store because they don't have that in Japan. And so the clientele over the years changed. So we have to study them too and then learn the diversity between these cultures. If I service a Japanese customer, I cannot treat that customer the same way as a Korean customer and the same way, too, as a Chinese. So not only do we study good customer service where we say our greetings and we acknowledge them and we hear and understand them, we now have to understand the culture and include that in our customer service. Now, tell me, how many of you are from Las Vegas? Anybody from Las Vegas? All right, Las Vegas in the house. Everybody's from out of town. Did you know that? Oh, okay. Well, you're better here because everywhere else is snowing. Well, you know what? 2007, I came here to Las Vegas, and I went through a culture shock. I still wanted to work for tourism. I was trying to get a job on the Strip. I was trying to get back into the airport and work for that duty-free. So I was fortunate enough to run some of the stores at Planet Hollywood. I went through a culture shock because now I had to learn how to deal with different types of African Americans. You had some from Ethiopia, some from Nigeria. You had ones from Jamaica. You had ones from the East Coast and the West Coast. And I'll tell you, you never compare the East from the West. And you had different diversities in even the different European groups, and even the Asians that lived here are so different from the ones from the island. So I quickly learned to deal with them, and the corporation I work for asked me to be a part of their customer service team. And I gladly was a part of that. And not only did I have to learn, again, the concept is the same across the board with customer service programs, but now I have to learn the culture here in Las Vegas. And I was really a minority. I think I belonged to the 1% of the 1% group here. It was hard to find islanders here until I found them all here at Golden Nuggets. Did you know the people from Hawaii are mostly here and in California Hotel? This is where I came to find people from the islands. But I'm proud to be from Las Vegas because it's important whether you're a small mom-and-pop store where you have a store that's run, supported by Randolph Shepherd, whether you are a big luxury retail store that I used to run, it's people interaction. I always tell this story to everybody because nobody will ever get to meet this man again. He passed a couple of years ago. This man, his name was Mr. Hemalani. He was the richest East Indian merchant on the island of Guam. Everybody knew him in Guam, Saipan, Rota, Tinian. When you see him, you don't want to approach him. His face is so mean, he doesn't smile. And all you think of is he's telling you, don't you dare talk to me. Because this guy was frugal. It was hard to have him invest in any other business but his. He was into real estate. He's had stores, different merchant stores. and he had a factory in the smaller islands of Saipan. So he came to the airport. I was transferred from the Galleria to the airport, and I saw him, and I knew he was going to Saipan because it was just one flight. And I said, oh, man, I'm going to just take my chance. The worst he can tell me is bug off, right? So I went up to him, and I knew his name, and I said, hi, Mr. Hamalani, good morning. And he looked at me, and he said, good morning. And I said, Mr. Hamalani, if you need any help, I'm right here. I'm stalking, so just call me, okay? And then also I'll tell you about your flight, because I don't want you to be late for your flight. He goes, okay. He shopped maybe 10 minutes later, and I said, oh, my goodness, this old man is going to get late. Let me go and talk to him. So I went up to him and said, Mr. Hamalani, is there anything you'd like to buy today? He goes, no. I said, you know what? I have some great promotion on Johnny Walker. Do you want to know about our promotion? He goes, yeah, okay. Now, remember, this man is frugal. He likes anything free. And so I said, Mr. Hamalani, if you buy 2 bottles of Johnny Walker Black, I'm going to give you this really nice duffel bag. It's for traveling. So the next time I see you, you can use this when you travel. He goes, oh, okay, I'll buy that. And then I said, do you want to buy tobacco? He goes, okay. Do you have a deal? I said, yes. If you buy 2 cartons of tobacco, I'm going to give you this great keychain. Yeah, it was just a keychain. But I understand this man wanted something free. He said, okay, I'll buy that carton. There's 5 cartons to a pack. $128. Of course, today you can't buy 5 cartons in one pack for $128. Maybe $500, right? So he said, okay, I'll take that. And how many keychains are you going to give me? I'm going to give you 3 keychains. He said, great, okay. He goes, do you have any chocolates? I said, yes, I do. You know, we have a big, big section of European chocolate. I said, come, sir, and I'll help you. And then I remember I'm the only one on the floor. It's downtime. So I go and take him there. And I said, sir, there are 5 boxes to this case. And if you buy this, it's $200. If you buy this, it's $160. You get $40 off. He goes, oh, okay. All right. I said, is there anything else? He goes, no. I said, okay, let me ring you up. $328, no tax, of course. You know, we're duty free. And got it ready. And I said, you know, Mr. Hamalani, you're going to be late. I said, come, let me take you to the gate. So I took him to the gate. And he says, thank you. Well, actually, on the way to the gate, I said, Mr. Hamalani, how come you're going to Saipan? And then he starts to tell me his story and what he does then and what his sons do there and why he's buying all these giveaways or these gifts. And when he was talking, he was smiling. And I said, oh, my goodness, this man is really not mean. He's misunderstood. I said, oh, good. So I took him to the gate, and I thanked him for purchasing with us. And I said, I hope to see you next month. He said, okay. Now, this was in 2000, year 2000. In year 2006, he died. Every month from year 2000 to 2006, he came to see us, specifically me. And every time he came to the store, the staff was afraid to see him because his face says, don't bug me. But when he came and see me, he was smiling. First time I actually got a hug from an old man. I said, oh, okay, you know. And then the last year, he was using a wheelchair. And United Airways started walking him into our store and says, where's Vivian? I said, oh, I'm here. I'll go leave him alone. I'll take care of him, and I'll bring him to his gate. This is a resident of Guam who bought $328 every time he traveled, every month, even in a wheelchair. So he passed, and I was sad about it. His son came looking for me 2 weeks later after his father passed. And he came looking for me personally and said, thank you for helping my father. Oh, you're welcome. And I said, what can I do for you, Peter? He goes, oh, the usual. $328 to this day, and I'm not even on Guam. Now, who can spend $328 in your store? You have a captive a captive customer in your store that comes to your store or your restaurant. And I have to tell you, when you say the word customer, it's not that customer that walks in to pay you money. A lot of us forget our customer starts with those employees that come in. There's employees that come with you, that come into the store with you, and you open the store, and there's John. Hey, John, how are you today? Glad you made it on time. Yeah, boss, I made it on time. You know, and there's Mary who comes in later. And then later, there's the delivery guy who's also your customer. He comes and drops off the cold cuts, drops off your drinks, drops off supplies. And you interact with that customer. And he takes off and he says, hey, I'll see you later next week. Call me for your supplies. The other customers are the maintenance people that come and see you and says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't come yesterday to do your plumbing. And you say, oh, it's okay, Jose. I'm not using my sink. I said, you have 10 minutes to fix my sink. And so he fixes his sink, your sink, and you say, hey, have a drink on me. Then the real customer, the last customer, are the customers that come and pay. And do you remember to say hi to every one of your customers? I don't think so, because I myself is a customer. And when I buy things over the counter, and when I buy things places like Walmart, when I buy things at small places like these Asian stores, less than half of the time that people say hi to me. And that makes me mad, because I mean customer service. And when you say hi to me, guess what? I impulsively buy. Oh, wow, John said hi to me. Oh, I guess I have to buy something today. See? You have to add customer service on top of your priorities for 2014. Everything you plan around here and every speaker that came to talk to you about these new POS upgrades and these new UPC codes that you can slap on your sandwiches, and this lady that I can't beat who just came from Washington, D.C., and gosh, I love the way you talk. This lady, all the efforts they have to keep you in business won't matter if you don't focus on that customer in front of you, your staff, the maintenance people, the cook, your wife that comes to help you. She's your customer. What it is a customer is a relationship you have that brings money, is a part of your business, makes that business work. Your customer, too, is Shepherd, is Randolph Shepherd, too. And sometimes when you say, gimme, 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 sometimes turn around and say, thank you, right?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Thank you, Vivian. Our next speaker is going to give us an update from the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. Susan Schaefer, she's the Director of Office for Blindness and Visual Services, Maryland State Department of Education, Division of Rehabilitation. Susan?
Thank you. Good morning. And yes, there are 14 inches of snow in Baltimore. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going home tomorrow. I bring greetings from National Council of State Agencies of the Blind. You all know Katrina. Katrina works with us, for us, and I want to tell you a little bit about the rest of our organization. I know that a tremendous amount of what we do is around Randolph Shepherd, and I want to let you know that that is one of our biggest focuses, but we are an organization that focuses on all aspects of blind issues. I bring greetings from our president, Robert Doyle, and the rest of the board, and I am currently the president-elect. We are the council that is made up of all of the states. You have to be a state in order to join our council. I've gotten some emails recently from blind vending committees who want to know how they can become members. Membership is limited to states. However, anyone can participate in our activities. The mission of NCSAB is to promote through advocacy, coordination, and education the delivery of specialized services that enable individuals who are blind and visually impaired to achieve personal and vocational independence. One of the key points there is specialized services. As many of you know, in your states, you have two agencies, a general agency and a blind agency. In my state, we have what is considered a combined agency. However, we've worked very hard to have specialized services within the combined agency. And we work with all states in order to get those specialized services. And where they've been threatened, we work with the states to maintain those specialized services. Many states that have separate agencies have been threatened due to cost-cutting moves, and we work very hard to maintain those separate services. We do have two conferences a year. The April conference is always in Bethesda, Maryland, which is right outside of Washington, D.C., and that's because we partner with our sister agency, CSAVR, and that's the Council of State Agencies of Vocational Rehabilitation. And all of the VR agencies, general, blind, and combined, can belong to that organization. And we always partner with them for our conferences. And the April conference is always held in the D.C. metropolitan area because the Tuesday of the conference is the legislative day. And that's when the state agency representatives do go to Congress and meet with our elected leaders and educate. As Katrina mentioned, many of the SLAs, mine included, were not allowed to reach out to our elected officials, and we are not allowed to educate in except in very, very limited ways. And that's why we look to our elected committee or our state rehabilitation councils in order to assist us in educating in a more directed way. Our second conference of the year is always held in November, and traditionally it's been held in the West. Now, my understanding of the West is West. You know, it's been in San Diego, Seattle. This year was in Denver, which is getting West this past year. Well, this year coming up is in Miami. Now, I don't know how anybody picked that. I don't know how they decided that that was West. But being from Maryland, Miami in November sounded great to me. So Miami in November it will be. Next year, 2015, the November conference is in Seattle. So somebody got the message, West means West. We do have, in the past, the structure of our conference was to have different general sessions, and then we would have committee meetings. Several years ago, what happened was everybody went to one committee. Any guesses on what that one was? Randolph-Shepard. So we had to reconfigure our whole structure, and now we do committees of the whole as our general sessions because everybody wants to be completely up to date on what is going on with Randolph-Shepard. We always have Katrina come and speak, and as she referred to, Fred Schroeder is one of our, he's our legislative specialist outside of Randolph-Shepard, but if you know Fred Schroeder, he keeps up with everything. So Fred is always at our conferences, and he speaks as well. We still do have a Randolph-Shepard committee because each committee puts together the agenda for the conference. We do also have employment, transitioning, independent living, older blind, and training. So there are a lot of other things going on in blind services. But if you go to our website and you look across the top for the different topics on the pull down, the only specialized topic is Randolph-Shepard. It really does take a lot of our time and our focus because it is a very important program, as you well know. Our Randolph-Shepard committee has special co-chairs right now. You do know that the position at RSA is currently vacant, and just recently it was filled by Dan Fry, who's now the commissioner in New Jersey, and he's one of our co-chairs. And prior to Dan Fry, the position was filled by Ray Hopkins, the commissioner in Virginia, and he's our other co-chair. So we have very experienced people in NCSAB running this committee and always working on us. We do have also Katrina from Lynchpin and Dr. Fred Schroeder, a former commissioner. the committee's work to keep up with everything that's going on and to educate and to have the SLAs communicate with each other on a variety of topics. The executive committee does meet on a regular basis by teleconference, and we do twice a year outside of the conferences. So four times a year, we do meet with RSA and the commissioner, and that's coming up in March, and then we'll meet at the conference. Like I said, membership is only open to states. However, anyone is able to attend our conferences and is able to get information from us. We do a lot of work, as Katrina referred to, in gathering information and making sure that the information is available to you, the vendors, to the elected committees, and you should be able to contact your state. If you don't know who your BEP director is in your state, you should know that. But if you don't, that list is also on our website, which is ncsab.org. Very easy website. So the director of all the blind programs, that's one directory, the NCSAB directory. And then if you go to the Randolph Shepherd tab and do a pull down on that, there's also a BEP directory. So we are, you do have the directors of all your BEP programs in each state. So we are very active in Randolph-Shepherd issues. We wholly support Randolph-Shepherd. We believe very strongly in Randolph-Shepherd and spend probably the most amount of our time, money, and effort in advocating and advancing everything around Randolph-Shepherd. And that's your National Council of State Agencies for the Blind. Are there any questions? I can't see you, so if you have a question, you have to jump up. Okay. All right. Okay, well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
The NCSAB conferences are a great source for information, and I would recommend it to SLA directors and state staff. It's a super conference that they have. Is Ms. Liston in the room? She is. Our next speaker is what's happening at Cantu Services. We're going to get an update from Vanessa Liston with Cantu Services, who is one of our sponsors and has been as long as I can remember at Sagebrush. So welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you, everyone. We really appreciate the opportunity to be here. First, let me start with tonight from 6 to 7:30. Cantu Services is hosting an open bar, and we hope all of you can come by and get to know us a little bit better. On Friday morning in the Bel Air Room, Cantu will be training our SBA officials on everything they have to offer a new or small business, as well as the ITPE union reps educating on working with unions and why it can be beneficial. Liberty Mutual will be training on insurance, workers' compensation, and safety. And Mr. Reginald Swede with Cantu Services will be training on dining facility operations. Randolph-Shepherd Vendors of America, your motto for this year, let's embrace change. Change is the steel we can forge to a new future, really got me thinking how I could apply this to Cantu Services. My father, Ricardo Cantu, was the pioneer of bringing new opportunities, change, to the vision-impaired community with the success of the very first government food service contract on a military installation at Barksdale Air Force Base, Louisiana, with the now deceased and very missed Mr. Eugene Breaux. Ever since that day, nothing has been the same for us. People have come and gone. Government contracts have come and gone, but that is always the case with life and with bidding on government contracts. The nature of our work is very competitive, as it is supposed to be. But let me clarify a comment made yesterday about Fort Sill. By a judge's ruling, Cantu should be the teaming partner at Fort Sill. Fort Sill, Oklahoma, is the subject of multiple legal proceedings and arbitrations. And yet, without saying much more than that, we know, with God's will, Cantu will rightfully prevail at Fort Sill. And this leads me to what I find distressing. The change in the equal opportunity for government contractors, teaming partners, and blind vendors to be fairly considered for opportunities in their states. Let's face it, RSVA members do not have the advantage in most states to be considered for the best locations, and in recent years, even teaming partners have hit that roadblock as well. Is it because we are not qualified enough, educated enough? No, hardly. We are all just as qualified, if not more so. And to be honest, it doesn't matter if you have a college degree to be a blind vendor at a government location or to be educated to be a teaming partner. We earn it and we deserve it. Sadly, even if we do get to participate, the process appears to be very flawed. With teaming partners spending thousands of dollars on travel for presentations and our precious time, when a teaming partner has, in actuality, already been selected in advance of these presentations. It should be every VEP's mission to ensure a fairly run program despite affiliations. It should be every SLA's mission to ensure that the criteria used to assist blind vendors in selecting teaming partners is exactly the same, despite affiliations. If this process is not followed, you are taking away the government's ability to have a fair and competitive process on government contracts. It is against the law. Shamefully, I bet a lot of SLAs never considered that. And that is where change and awareness, in my opinion, needs to start happening. Like all the teaming partners here, Cantu Services would like to be considered for government contracts. We know what it takes to get the mission completed to the military's expectations and more. We want to serve your state, and the fairly selected blind vendor with the utmost of integrity and the highest standard of ethics, and the only thing we ask is the same in return. Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, Vanessa. We certainly appreciate you being here, and please give Rick and Mr. Cantu our best regards, and Bob also. We was hoping Bob would be here, Mr. Welch, but he couldn't make it. But please let them know that we appreciate everything that they do for Randolph Shepherd.
Oh, thank you so much.
And we also have a plaque we'd like to present you.
The Randolph Shepherd Vendors of America Sagebrush Conference appreciates Cantu Services Incorporated, RSVA Las Vegas Whale sponsor, for your sponsorship in the annual Sagebrush Convention Conference held at the Golden Nugget Hotel and Casino, Las Vegas, Nevada, February 13, 2014. In great appreciation, Dan Sippel, President. Thank you. Is someone from L&S Services here? Well, I guess not, but they were one of our High Rollers sponsors, and we have a plaque for them also, so let's give them a big hand for their sponsorship.
Maybe
We'll do some quick door prizes, and everybody get a little break between now and lunch.
Okay. I have a $25 cash from RSVA.
Let's sing some song. Hey, my salad. Damn fool.
If you come to the luncheon, you need your badge. If you do not have your badge, you will not be allowed in the room. Because your name tag is your to show that you paid for the luncheon. Emma Palmer, are you in the room? Okay. First one, wow, that's...
Nice shade.
Okay, we have...
Okay, what star you're falling, buddy? Get them camels off my lawn.
That Harvard Imaging Organization check numbers.
Can you make it alone?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Jerry Rose.
All day, all
wow, two
night.
In a row.
What a job.
Yes. I got another $25 cash from RSVA.
Stop it, sort of slob. What the hell's the matter? You're going, I thought you were going to do some
just
nice
trying to have a little fun.
Christina Parker.
A dance with
okay.
A dolly with a hole in her stocking. Her knees keep a knocking. Her toes keep a talking. Dance with a dolly with a hole in her stocking. And the booze ran out of her shoes.
James Worth. Oh, Swartz. Sorry about that.
You sing that
James
like
Swartz.
You believe it.
Oh, there's not in the room.
Else to believe.
You are too beautiful.
Clifton Miller.
For one man alone.
Okay.
So I brought along
okay.
My barber.
Brother.
And we need we have a chip from FSIG.
I didn't want to do it. You woke me up to do it. You
Kent Walzer.
Hey, why twice? Why twice?
I
Kent Walzer.
I was sleeping so nice and deep.
Twice.
Shook me like this.
Another good
I didn't even
Lynn
know
Linker.
Send her over to my place.
Lynn
today.
Linker. Jeffrey Dewart. Jeffrey
Nothing
Dewart.
Finer than the shack up with a minor.
Don James.
Lights.
Don James left.
Nothing's
okay.
More unnerving than to wake up.
Pat Mattingly.
That was the chick's name.
Sure, with the mustache.
Beautiful dreamer.
He found it. It took him a little while, but he found it.
Mike Barclay.
I dream on and on. I dream in my bed.
He wouldn't.
And
Edward Robbins.
In the John.
Oh, hey, he's here this time.
What am I going to dream about? I dream in the Pete?
It's got to be John. I dream in the Pete. That's right. That's not good. For God's sake. It's like I dream in the Sam.
Okay,
that's
we'll
good.
See you at lunch.